Welcome to the Air It Out Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Air It Out Network. I'm Joe.
I'm Chantel.
Thank you for listening last week and welcome back. You can find us on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Google Podcasts, and now iHeartRadio. Please like, follow, get notifications of new episodes. It's important to rate and review. You can support this podcast in the link in the show's description. And you can follow us at the Air It Out Network on Instagram. How you doing?
I am doing pretty well, I was going to say. But you know what? I'm not doing well. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm getting old, Joe. I'm getting old and I don't...
Getting younger.
I don't recommend... That's what I recommend. If you can do it, get younger. Don't get old. But all of a sudden, everything hurts for no reason. You got to rub cream on your joints just to take a walk. And just avoid it at all costs, people. Stay young if you can. But anyway...
I agree. Everything else the is ice feels better. The warm feels a little better.
Right.
But like I said, I'm going backwards.
Speaking of people who go backwards and never get old, one Beyonce produced or put out a country album. Have you heard?
I have not
you
heard. Have not,
you haven't heard any of the songs?
No. What do you think?
You know what? I was going to ask you what you thought because I know that you and I have a pretty broad range of music that we like. We both like, and then she's venturing into this new genre, and I was like wondering what you thought. But she's got a couple country songs, and for some reason, I've listened to the songs.
Okay,
and they're okay. They're not. They're not bad by any stretch. But for some reason, I can't wrap my mind around her being a country singer. Like I had a country playlist and I haven't added any of the songs to my playlist.
So maybe you can correct me, but I thought she's from Houston, right? Houston.
She is. She grew up going to rodeos and stuff. So it seems somewhat natural, but I've ties
to Texas. They're very proud of that kind of stuff. And country music's very big there, of course.
Yeah.
So I could see that. She's so talented. You know?
She is.
So I'd have to see it. And she could venture into basically any kind of entertainment, I think. So.
Okay. That's your homework. Next week, I will check out at least two of the songs. See what you think.
We'll give it a go.
All right.
She's the queen for a reason. All righty. So then here we go with NFL stuff. There's been some very big and very interesting happenings around the league since the last show. The surprises keep coming. But it's all shaping up to one heck of a season. Let's get right into it with the headlines and news.
So for headlines and news, I think sadly, maybe everybody kind of heard about the passing of NFL great Vontae Davis. I was so sad to hear about this. He was only 35 years old, a Pro Bowl cornerback, played 9 seasons in the NFL, 3 with the Miami Dolphins and then 6 with the Colts.
Oh, yep.
And in a very, very short stint with the Bills and what was perhaps his most infamous moment in 2018, he announced his retirement from football during halftime of the season's opening game. But you know what? I don't begrudge him that. You got to know when to go, and he knew. Definitely. So he was like, you know what? I'm calling it. I'm out of love with this game, and that was that. But he's also the younger brother of likely Hall of Famer tight end Vernon Davis.
He
played 14 seasons in the league, and I think the bulk of that time was with the Niners and then went on to win the Super Bowl with the Broncos in Super Bowl 50. But huge loss for the league and for that family.
Always
really sad.
Sad when it goes that young.
I know.
For sure. I thought you had one more for us, a little Skip Bayless controversy.
Oh, yeah. So you listen. Okay.
Causing some problems.
Here we go. I don't know what it is about people coming for Cam Newton. Just outright, complete disrespect. I'm not here for it. I don't know how you feel about Cam.
I like him too. Sharp dresser.
Yeah. But he does have a podcast. It's very interesting. A lot of fun to listen to. He's got star power. So all these, you know, celebrities are lining up to sit down and talk with him. But it seems as of late, the disrespect has just like hit the roof. So not so much from his star-studded guest, but he also runs a football camp for young people who might not otherwise get such opportunities and to play on a big stage in front of a bunch of former NFL players and scouts and other NFL notables,
amazing,
you know, who are coming out because no doubt Cam has asked them to do so. Right. But he gets heckled at those games by those kids, which is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Right. And it's by, I think, kids that are completely forgetting that this is a player who has gone, you know, they heckle him like, oh, you're washed. You lost in a Super Bowl, not realizing that most of them will probably never get to those heights.
How many players, first of all, never get to the NFL? Second of all,
right.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL never make it to the Super Bowl?
Exactly. Exactly. So the majority of them are, you know, going to be spectators, as most of us are. Yeah. You probably not even lacing up cleats to step on the NFL turf in any stadium at any time. So what in the world is suggesting that it's okay to, I don't know, come for the athletic prowess of one Cam Newton? So, and if you haven't heard, the latest person to jump on the disrespect Cam Newton train is one Skip Bayless, who is kind of hot and cold with people up and down. He said some dumb stuff, some shock stuff.
I agree with that.
Right. So here's just a little clip of Skip's challenge to Cam.
Dear Cameron Newton, I do believe I can beat you. No joke. No laugh until you cry. I can shoot Cam Newton. There's no video magic used on my makes. There's no CGI. No dude perfect. Those made threes are as real as Caitlin Clark's were on television the other day against LSU. Cam, if you did want to, if you wanted to race me after we have our three-point shootout, you could name the distance. I don't care. Mile, 2, 3 miles, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 miles. I don't care. You name the distance. We'll race. I'm what? More than twice your age. But I don't think you can beat me. I don't think you're in that kind of shape the way I'm in that kind of shape. But I would gladly participate in that if you're into it.
So, Skip, you got to knock it off. Just stop.
He's a little out of his lane sometimes. If people should, there's no athletic competition of any type that he's gonna
of any type.
It could be tennis, it could be tiddlywinks, right. You name it. He cannot compete. Cam Newton, even at his age and the end of his career and stuff, he's one of the best athletes in the world.
You're in my head. That's exactly what I said. He is a world class athlete. He led the Panthers to 4 playoff appearances in as many years, 3 division titles, a franchise best record of 15-1 that season on the way to a Super Bowl appearance and a league MVP. We won't even talk numbers. So people, just please stop. You got to put some respect
on his
name.
Fantastic collegiate player as well. Yeah, yeah. I don't know exactly. We'll just get probably in his 60s. Yeah. My one knock on Cam is I didn't agree. He beat up on Brock Purdy quite a bit last year, and Brock Purdy's coming out to be quite a quarterback. But that was just talk.
Yeah, of course. And it comes from at least it's another person who's played the position at the level that he's at. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. A little much. All right. On to a little lighter one here. The NFL, for the first time ever, will play a game in Brazil.
All right. I think that's awesome.
Me too. In a country that's more known for the love of the other football, the Packers and the Eagles will square off on Friday night of week 1. So we get it nice and early. The game will be on Peacock. So I agree with you as far as the game goes. Awesome, spreading around the world, and hopefully it takes off. It had a little slow start in England, but I think that picked off a little bit. They played in Germany last year, which was kind of fun to watch. Yeah. Mexico City's been recurring. They have a pretty full following there, especially for the now Las Vegas Raiders, LA Chargers, those teams. What do you think of Peacock? And now it's streaming. A lot of people don't have Peacock subscription service. I think it's like $5 or $10 a month or something like that. It's NBC spinoff, of course, you know, Peacock.
I'm nervous about the Peacock thing.
A lot of people missed games last year because remember the playoff game.
It was on Amazon though, right?
Was it on Amazon or was it
Wait, the Thursday night games were on Amazon. And then there was one on Peacock?
On Peacock, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I believe there's a playoff game on Peacock as well.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like the Peacock thing. And I think that they'll probably go away from it after this one season.
Yeah.
I love TV as much as the next person. I have everything except Peacock. That's like the one thing that I don't have. And it stopped being, I had it for a while because I have cable and it was free with cable and then they stopped that.
Yes.
So
yes.
No way. It's a mistake. I don't think I would.
So as a sports fan, we're both sports fans, as things go forward, do you like the idea of individual network streaming? You know, no longer stuff on that's included. What's the point of having cable if they make everything separate?
Right.
So Amazon becomes separate. NBC becomes Peacock, separate.
Well, I think the bigger ones that have always been separate, the streaming platforms like your Netflix, your Amazon has always been around. Even like Apple, I understand. Like Apple, these Hulu. Individual like channels basically that used to be, because Peacock is basically NBC, which used to be just a regular network channel on cable. So that's where the problem lies. I don't like that at all.
I think they'll have trouble bringing the audience over.
As they should. People should not pay the money for it.
Especially people who just want to watch the game. They don't care about the movies, the shows, all the stuff. They just care about the one NFL game. Yeah.
No, no, no. And then we've already got to pay for so many things. And so, and if they spread that out, now you're suddenly signing up for five things to be able to watch individual. That's no.
People
should raise hell.
I tend to agree. I hope it goes away and just goes back to, you know, you can watch your normal games at your normal rooms. Amazon doesn't bother me as much because most people have Amazon anyway.
Right.
But, you know, they paid for their contract. YouTube, of course, paid for their contract as well to carry the entire thing. But yeah, just one streaming game a week or something on Peacock. Friday nights too. Friday nights is going to break the thing. I don't like that either.
I think the option though, if you are one of the few people who still have cable, those streaming games, even with Amazon last year, they came on the NFL Network right after.
Yeah, like, that's so true too. Yeah, and recap stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so that's it for the headlines and news for this week. We'll go to trades and movement. Might as well go with the big one first. One, Stephon Diggs is no longer a Buffalo Bill. He was traded to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second and fifth round pick, as well as a 2024 sixth rounder. We'll give Mr. Diggs his props here. 30 years old. He was a fifth round pick in 2015 from the University of Maryland by the Minnesota Vikings. Played for the Vikings from 2015 to 2019 and the Bills from 2020 to 2023. Now, of course, the Texans. We'll just go with his last year in 2023 for the Bills. He had 107 receptions, 1,183 yards, 8 touchdowns. In his career, 810 receptions, just under 10,000 yards, 67 touchdowns. Is this a good move for the Texans?
The Texans, I'm going to say this a few times during this show today, but the Texans are going to be a problem.
You see them as Super Bowl contender?
Absolutely.
So
they're
going to
win that division.
So does Vegas.
They're going to win that division, and they are going to be a problem in the AFC.
So run through the division right quick. It's the Colts with a very young Anthony Richardson return last year.
Right.
So we don't have to worry about them.
It's the Colts, the Jags,
and the Tennessee. The Jags are, I think, going backwards slightly. And the Tennessee Titans, who made some defense building. Their offense now that King Henry's gone, all that stuff. So it's certainly their division on the outside looking in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be a problem for the AFC.
Yeah. So let's look at the conference. Let's look at their offense real quick. Since they added Diggs, they also added Joe Mixon.
Yep.
So they're going to stick with quarterback, second year sensation. CJ Stroud. Do you believe in the second year curse? Is CJ Stroud going to have a regression year?
You know what? No. I don't get that from the energy that he puts out. I don't think he has a regression year. And there, I mean, it's completely, I don't think it's set up for such. So there's not a whole lot of change. They've only added positive around him, one at the running back position, which they are not a run first team.
They're not.
So what they have been most comfortable with and had the most success at has stayed relatively the same and only improving. I don't see a downturn for him at all.
What they added are also two very playoff-savvy veterans, two have been in big games, two have been around, guys who have been in the Super Bowl, really. Mixon was in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, so guys who know what it takes. So, okay, so we'll go on to the rest of the offense. Nico Collins, so quite a good performer. Tank Dell, who was on fire, they got hurt last year. And they added tight end Dalton Schultz from the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Dalton Schultz he's the number one. I did mention, once you have a Nico Collins, this embarrassment of riches in Tank Dell and Diggs, and then you throw, like you said, a Joe Mixon into the mix and a Dalton Schultz into the mix.
They can all receive. You know, he's a fantastic receiving running back, so now you have options all around him. So that offense should be explosive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And compete. There's a couple offenses in the AFC that I think are stepping backwards a little bit. The team that he just came from, so the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is still Josh
Allen. Definitely. I think we'll cover them a little bit later.
Yeah, but they've definitely regressed a little bit. And the same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that offense has regressed a little bit too. But we'll cover them when we get to the AFC South. All right, so I think that's definitely a big positive. My only question with them, and you and I talked about this off air a little bit, is where does he play? Does he play as the one? Does he play as the two? Does he play as the three? Is he the slot guy? He's a little too big to be a slot guy. So I think Tank in the slot, he's the two, and Nico's the one, I think.
Okay.
So
that's crazy on the field. You don't think that's insane?
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
On paper, there's only a few teams around the NFL that have that kind of offensive explosion. The Jets and the AFC, they have that too on paper. We'll have to see how that little comes together.
We're going to talk about them too. I'm excited for this one.
The Miami Dolphins, same idea. So Kansas City, of course. You don't think Kansas City has the offensive explosives?
No. There's another one that I think might take a little step backwards. Kansas City is Kansas City, and I think I say this a little bit later on too. I think the landscape and the competition is changing in the AFC for sure. And I think it's to the detriment of the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be competitive. It was competitive last year. I mean, we saw Baltimore win. They were number one seed in the AFC. I think they'll be around again.
That's getting more, and they beefed up. Yeah, so
Pittsburgh got a little better.
Yep.
Cleveland should still be competitive with that very good defense. So
I'm on the fence with Cleveland this
year.
We'll
see. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson next year pretty in a minute here.
We get there.
And then the NFC has stuff too. I mean, the Niners will still be very good on offense. They have most of that stuff returning. Dallas, who's, you know, it's make a break kind of time for Dallas. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more bit to talk about trades and move. We need to move anywhere, but he signed a nice big contract. We'll talk about the Jacksonville Josh Allen.
Yes, the other Josh Allen.
Well-deserved five-year, $150 million deal with $88 million of that guaranteed. I'm here to take a loan if he's handing out money. Allen has gone to two Pro Bowls in the last five seasons, had a career best last year, 17 and a half sacks, 66 tackles, two forced fumbles, and one INT. And when he did play the other Josh Allen, if you remember this a couple years ago, Josh Allen versus Josh Allen, Josh Allen, the defensive end, rattled the Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
Right, I remember that.
And they won that game. Yeah, a big surprise. So, deserved money? I think it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's joined the ranks of guys like Nick Bosa, Chris Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And the production is there. So, I think while the Jaguars' offense was like less than ideal this past season, it was the defense that was kind of the brighter spot on the team for them. And I think they ended up something like overall, like in the bottom third, maybe 22nd, but then the top 10 against the run, they got it right with this one. So I think he's going to, this is definitely worth the money.
And that is the same division of the Houston Texans we just talked about. Yeah. So if they're going to slow them down, you have to be able to get at CJ Stroud and then do that with the pass rush. So
we'll see.
Don't give them the time to get those.
We'll
see.
But I mean,
Is he going to be enough? Yeah. I mean, not probably. Not. But okay, so that's it for the trades and movement. Let's get on to, so I'm going to do this one a little different this week. We're going to do the biggest fantasy implications.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw an article that talks about the NFL's most overpaid players following last year.
Yeah.
And following the peak of the 2020-24 offseason free agency. So let's see if you and our listeners agree. Okay, I'm going to do 10.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go one at a time and we'll see they're worth it to their teams or not. So number one here, the Bills, Von Miller. I got numbers for us here. He signed a 6-year, $120 million deal. He's 35 years old.
Thumbs down on that one. Not worth it.
Thumbs down. I tend to agree. So I'll give you another number here. He was paid $6.7 million per tackle and had zero sacks in 2023.
I think if you want to compare it to like they do in Hollywood, like, oh, maybe it's for his body of work. You know what I mean? Like when you should have been getting paid when you were performing much better.
Yeah.
And they don't get around to you until you're kind of in the sunset and twilight hours of your career. That happens a lot in Hollywood. We can make that comparison here.
Yeah.
He's certainly a little long in the tooth for a contract that hefty.
When he was with the Denver Broncos and they played that same Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers in the Super
Bowl. That Super Bowl. He dominated. Terrorized. I know. Yeah.
Terrorized. He didn't even have a chance to get out of the backfield before he could even hand the ball off. That was one of the most dominating defensive performances by an individual player I can remember. And he won the MVP for that game.
He did.
That was a long time ago.
Super Bowl 50.
Yeah. Yep. So he deserved the money then. Now, I think that's slightly overpaid. I think the Bills are going to, if he makes it through the year, at 35, you get nicked up and dinged a little bit quicker. So I don't know about that one. Yeah. All right. Number two, New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers. I'll give you the numbers.
Okay. Give me
40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Will count for $68.7 million against the salary cap over the next 2 years. Does he? So they played for, 10 minutes last year before he got hurt? Does he bounce back this year?
Okay, so when we get to the Jets,
we will get there.
I think he is, so $68 million 2 years, basically.
Over 2 years.
Over two years.
Yeah, just under 69 for 2 years.
Okay, I say yes, worth it.
So bounce back year this
bounce
year.
Bounce back. I'm all in.
Again, you know, I preach this left and right, staying healthy is super important. So people around him stay healthy. He's loaded around him. So he's got
crazy.
Tons of people to get the ball to.
Yep.
The only question mark, and we'll get to that when we get to the thing here, is line, but we'll talk about it a little bit later. Okay, I agree. Bounce back here. If he can stay healthy, that Jets team.
That's not extreme. I mean, like Aaron Rodgers, one of the best throwers of the football.
Two-time back-to-back MVP. He had some amazing years up in Green Bay. If he can be 80% of that, the Jets will get their money's worth. All right, here's another one, and I'm off and on with this guy. I had him on a couple fantasy squads last year. Number three from the Cincinnati Bengals, the T. Higgins.
Okay.
Just got $21.8 million franchise tag for a player that's never had more than 75 catches in a season, 1,100 yards in a season, or 7 TDs in a season. Never been to the Pro Bowl. However, a caveat, he does play behind one of the best wide receivers the entire game.
Yeah.
What do we think? Overpaid or right for Mr. T. Higgins?
Tell me the number again.
Number again. He got $21.8 million and the franchise tag. Never had more than 75 catches.
I like T. Higgins, though. I mean, the money number. I remember the stats, but I think he's worth it.
So playing behind Jamar Chase, of course, you're going to be the number. Yeah. You're going to be the number two. Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase is, you know, he's one of five, you know, top wide receivers in the entire game. When Jamar is hurt, and it has happened the last couple of years, T. Higgins shines.
He shows up. He shines. So I think him very capable. I like the number four. I'm okay with that one.
So about right?
Yep.
I think that's about right, too. Franchise tag, see the next year goes, then you decide from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give him his $21.8 million or whatever and let it go on. All right, the next one. This might surprise you a little bit when I say the numbers. Of the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, quarterback, sixth highest paid player and highest in the NFL in terms of guaranteed money. All right? So he makes a ton of money. He's thrown only 14 touchdowns and 11 interceptions since the end of the 2020 season. That's three seasons now.
Do you have his stats since his return?
No, just the touchdowns and interceptions over the last 3 years. So 14 TDs, 11 touchdowns, interceptions. So 14 TDs, 11 interceptions over the last 3 years. Is he worth the money? So he got hurt again last year. We watched that.
Right.
And they brought in the Joe Flacco show and all that stuff. The defense kind of carried Cleveland. You and I were big bandwagoners of them last year.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense did, took them all to the playoffs, but they couldn't, you know, keep it going once again to the playoffs.
So sadly, I'm going to say no.
He's not worth the money.
He's not worth the money. The production just has not been there, I think, since his return. And I don't anticipate it this upcoming season. So I'm going no.
I think he's on the downslide. I think he's on the downslide. I tend to agree with you a little bit. The Cleveland, that division got very hard. Very. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh with their quarterback signings. Baltimore's still going to be Baltimore. And Cincinnati, I think they can take a tiny step of regression, but they're still good. I mean, they're still, that offense is still good. Joe Burrow's still a world-class quarterback.
Yep, and he'll be better, too. He was a little...
I would not
up.
Be surprised if they were the worst team in that division next year.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
First to worst. There's always one.
Yeah. There's all, the whole offseason, it's already going to go through and all that good stuff and injuries and things happen. I do not think he's worth the money to pay him.
Nope.
I do not.
Good. All right. So far, we're what, 5 for 5. We've been agreeing.
Pretty
equal.
Number five, and we talk highly of this guy, Denver Broncos. They have some question marks there for sure this year. Their number one wide receiver, Cortland Sutton. He is 28 years old. He hasn't had over 1,000 yards receiving since 2019. He's slated to earn more than $35 million over the course of the next two seasons. Is he worth the money in Denver?
In Denver?
Yeah.
They need him in Denver. They have to.
What else do they have?
So, right. That's what I'm saying. So they have to shell out what his agent is asking or demanding, basically, because they need him in Denver.
So 28, he'll be part of a pretty much full rebuild, I think, is what's going to happen there in Denver. The Sean Payton rebuild, whoever the quarterback may be.
Whatever, whoever the quarterback's going to be, they've already gotten rid of Jerry Jeudy, which I think is inconsequential for them at this point anyway.
Agreed.
So, he can demand that number in Denver. Any place else, then I would say no.
I think they need a weapon. He is a very talented wide receiver. He's
sure.
You know, I've had him on a couple teams over the years. The problem has been getting him the ball, but that's not his fault. That's
right. Yeah. He's had ups and downs with quarterbacks. Right. I know that Russell did love him while he was there, and I would be interested. I didn't pull the numbers. I'd be interested to compare how he did with Russell Wilson under center versus the few previous years. So
we'll have to keep a track of that, of what they end up with. And we'll get into that, of course, as we get through our draft and the season, the year goes on and stuff, who the Broncos end up with quarterbacks. That'll make a big difference.
Yeah.
So I think it's a prove it year. He's got to prove it this year. 2019 was a long time. It was 5 years ago.
That was
so he needs to step up and do something. They're going to need his help if they're going to do anything.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of fantasy seasons where I was relying on Cortland Sutton and was disappointed there. So we'll see.
Sames.
But...
He's a
I think it's what the market demands, though, in Denver in particular. He can demand that because there's what else do they have? So
they really don't have much. I mean,
they fell out. The tight end didn't work out.
No, running back's kind of iffy. You know, the two running backs they have there. Quarterback, of course, they're rebuilding there. And their defense, you know, they have good cornerbacks, decent safety, but the linebackers aren't there. The ends aren't there. So stuff to do. Is he worth the money? That's not a crazy amount of money, but it's a lot. I mean, it's 18.5 million over per season. So that's less than T. Higgins. So would you rather have him or would you rather have T.
Higgins? I would definitely take T. Higgins.
Me too. All right. Number six, we're going to the defense. We talked about their problems with money over the cap and all that stuff. Los Angeles Chargers, not Nick, but Joey Bosa.
Okay.
He is now 28 years old and has played just 14 games in the last two seasons. The Chargers, they're a mess financially.
Yeah.
He will cost the Chargers $62 million over the next two seasons. Worth it, not worth it?
It's easy to say not worth it because he hasn't played.
Hurt a lot.
But
That defense was healthy, atrocious last year. Atrocious.
Yes, it was. It was very, very bad. Khalil Mack had a great season over there by himself.
By himself. He's in my opinion, one of the best in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
When he was with the Raiders, fantastic. You know, when he had help around him, fantastic. Yeah. So
It's easy to, but like I was saying, easy to say not because he's not playing, but if he is able to stay healthy, we see 17, 18 games out of him this season, I would say yes.
If he stays healthy, he gets double teamed a lot, so this doesn't really count for that, just like his brother does. He's not Nick, but Nick's the highest paid defensive player, period. So I think he's overpaid.
You think he's overpaid still?
I think he's overpaid.
Wow.
They have a lot to build. Harbaugh's got a big mission there in LA to rebuild that team. I'm curious to see. It'll take a while.
I know it's going to take, right? Because I was like, I'm not seeing what it's going to, I haven't seen anything so far that suggests they're going to be any more competitive this coming season. So.
And at 28, he's only got a few years left, of real prime time in his career, which is, crazy to say, but it's true. So, I'm going to go with not worth the cash there. Okay, on to probably the most talked about as far as cash and has to do something right now, and he's been all over the media, of the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, Dak Prescott. Now, let's talk, before we beat up on him, we talked too far, let me give you some stats.
All right.
Because he had a very, very good season in 2023, 4,516 yards, 36 touchdowns, only 9 interceptions. I didn't do the running stats, but there were running touchdowns in there as well. He had here's the beat up on him. People say it over and over again. He had a terrible playoff showing against the Packers. And has a $55.5 million cap number in 2024. That's a huge number. Talented, sure. Got a great offensive line. Running back's kind of a question there in Dallas. Very good receivers. Good young tight end, who I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Dak? Is he worth the money?
Oh, man. I think Dak is worth the money. Dak finished at number one, right? In yards, 4,000 some odd.
16 away up there in touchdowns.
Like that, way up there in touchdowns. I don't know what it is that they can't get over the hump in the postseason. I don't know what it is.
Before we get to, he was in the MVP talks with Lamar Jackson.
He was right there.
And Christian McCaffrey. He was right there, deservedly too, because he had a fantastic year. You and I saw CeeDee Lamb kind of blossom this year, so he does have a lot of stuff around him to throw to.
I don't think a lot, but yes.
Enough to stretch other teams and do it. They play fantastic at home. They kind of had a soft schedule, too, in my opinion, last year. Because the NFC East is so down. The Giants are bad. The Washington's bad. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. I think I'm with Jerry Jones. This is the year.
I think it's worth it. But I like that we talked about it a little bit last episode, that gentleman's agreement they have. Yeah. Like, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
So... I'll talk more later about the fantasy implications of that agreement in particular. But yeah, I think it's worth it. I think he's worth it. I think he goes for it this year.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's all on the line.
They are the best team in that division, in my opinion, again, unless, barring injuries and all that stuff.
Right.
If they do not make a deeper playoff run this year, which is going to be hard. The NFC is still good teams floating around the NFC. I can't see them continuing that experiment now that he's in his 30s and stuff. We will see. But I'll go with worth the money as well. On to the next one. I already tell you, not worth the money. This guy, backed up the Brinks truck and took all New York's money. Whoever owns them.
Danny Dimes.
Stole money from the Rooneys and the Maras and the Crafts, whoever owns the Giants. All right. So number 8, New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, only 26 years old. Now some are calling him a bust around the league, the prognosticators and the talkers. He has a $47.9 million cap number in 20. So that's not much off Dak. That's pretty close to Dak. I'm not going to go into his numbers because who cares?
He had a very short season, though.
He started three games or something like that. And he had 3 or 4 or something like that. Real
so
short.
Is that really fair, though? I mean, he got the contract. He got hurt. So you got to give him a chance to see.
Do you think he starts next year? Do you think he's the New York Giants starter week?
They better start him next year. They better start him next year. Right.
So their offense looked different. They used to float for the last years. It's floated around Saquon. He's now in Philadelphia, so it won't be that anymore. Do you think he can carry the offense? He's going to have to. There's money.
He's going to have to. They're going to have to give him the opportunity to do so. They have, I can never remember the kid's name, that rookie wide receiver over there. He was very good. So Darren Waller, there has been rumors swirling about retirement for him, though.
Yeah.
So
don't
know what he's going to do yet. And no more Saquon. So he's got to get at least the opportunity to get out there and do something. If not, okay, I get it. Move on. They take the L and move on. But with only starting 3 games last season and 40-some-odd million dollars on the – yeah, they can't walk away without at least attempting to see a full season.
I want to say it was 4 years and like $160 million or something like that.
It was right. Similar, it was huge. I remember – yeah. Yeah.
I remember thinking, what are the Giants doing here? But maybe they saw something I didn't. And it's not over for him, but now's the time. And if they're starting to call him a bust, if he has another bad year or injury-riddled year, that's probably the end.
That's it.
Probably,
yeah. Probably the end for him. They got to give him that chance.
I'm going to say he's definitely not worth the money. He wasn't worth the money when he signed
when he got it. Yeah. I tend to agree.
But some people back it on up. Okay, so here's one that I think you both, you and I, will agree with pretty quickly. Number 9, Las Vegas Raiders. One of the best of the last 15 years.
Okay.
Davante Adams. Now, 31 years old, second highest paid receiver in the NFL. Deserved money?
Every penny.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
An elite talent.
Elite in every sense of the word. Yeah, he deserves it.
So here comes the problem with the Vegas Raiders, and you and I talked about this a show or two ago.
No quarterback.
Quarterback
yeah.
play.
Yeah.
Defensive offensive line. I think they'll be okay at running back, even though Josh Jacobs is now with the cheeseheads up in Wisconsin. If someone can get him the dang ball, I think they'll be okay.
Right. Who are they going with? Or who did they pick? The Raiders picked up somebody. I can't remember who.
Billy Zappi is there or somebody like that. They took him from New England, I think. And then okay. Aiden O'Connell, I think, is still
Aiden O'Connell's there. Bailey Zappi. And then they didn't. Where did Garoppolo end up?
Garoppolo is a backup somewhere now.
Where did Minshew end up?
Minshew is also gone. He left Indy and maybe he is there. I'm not sure.
I can't remember. Yeah.
I'm not sure. But they have questions. Either way, of all those names we just named, they still have
yeah.
quarterback questions.
This is true.
And I believe they're passionate. They're well-led. The Raiders are. Mm-hmm. If they can find somebody to get him the ball, maybe a second to keep a little heat off of him from getting doubled and stuff, he can. He's only 31.
Okay. So where are they in the draft? I don't remember.
Middle. Yeah, it's like 15 to 20.
Okay, there's a plethora of quarterbacks coming out. This is a good
worth every penny. Davante Adams is one of the best to do it for a while. If they can get on the ball, great. Okay, so number 10 and last one.
Okay.
Arizona Cardinals. I think you already know what I'm going to say. Kyler Murray. It's only 26, a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fifth highest paid player in the NFL. All right.
That's high.
Yeah, fifth highest player.
That's up there for Kyler Murray.
I'll give you his numbers for last year. Half a season, he was out for the first half with his ACL thing. 2023, young Mr. Murray threw for almost 1,800 yards, 10 TDs, 5 interceptions. I'll give you his wide receivers he currently has because Hollywood's gone. He currently has Michael Wilson. Name these players. Michael Wilson, Chris Moore, Zach Pascal.
I know Zach Pascal.
Zach Pascal, he was with Indy for a little bit. Yep. So yeah,
we know. Former pro. Okay.
And then you and I are fans of this young man they drafted him really high, Trey McBride, to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
He only has 28 wins in his 5 seasons in the NFL. Kyler Murray, fifth highest played.
Is he overpaid? That's up there. Those numbers, I think when you get like that, all the credit goes to their agent.
Yeah.
Seriously. And what they're able to, you know, and his name, to negotiate.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He came out hot. He did have a good first season.
Yeah. And he was very small. He exceeded expectations. But that 5 in the league is very high for Kyler Murray.
That's
on those stats.
In the whole NFL.
Right. That's high.
Fifth, that's way up
so,
there.
So... Yeah, I gotta go. He's overpaid. I think he's
way overpaid. And I'm a fan. I'd like to see him do well next year. I don't think he has the people around him to do well. I like James Conner. Other
than that, Marvin Harrison Jr. That's where he's gonna end
up. If he ends up there, that'd be a fantastic place for him. That'd be fantastic for Kyler Murray because I think he's gonna be a special talent, like his dad. All right, that's all I got on those 10. So we tend to agree on most of them, I think. All right.
Yeah. But I think as a fantasy podcast, especially when the season kicks off, I thought it would be interesting, like you said, to talk about a little bit of the implications one might have, some of the movement
that
has happened. So I think we talked a little bit, if we could backtrack to Dak for a moment. We talked a little bit about the gentleman's agreement with Dallas, but now there's a couple little birdies tweaking about CeeDee Lamb. And him holding out, right? So he mentioned that he might hold out, although he does plan to be in Dallas, right? So he made $18 million last year, which doesn't match production in my opinion.
Still in the rookie contract.
In the rookie contract, but this is his last year on the rookie contract, right? So he's really coming to his own. I think he's been a reliable and productive target for Dak.
Agreed.
In Dallas.
Absolutely.
I think Jerry Jones would be an absolute fool not to work this out.
Agreed.
So he has got to. He's ended. He led the league 135 receptions, second in receiving yards, 1,700 on the season, third in touchdowns with 12. They can't afford not to. Fantasy stud, right?
Huge.
Outlook for him fantasy-wise is going to be an ADP of 2. The lowest ranked ADP for CeeDee Lamb, number 3. So I think we'll see a lot of the fantasy landscape draft moves change, and he's going to go way up.
I couldn't agree more. So you look at the people around him, and I need to cheat real quick and look.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know what? Brandon Cooks is not a bad target, though. Like, he tends to be the deeper threat most of the time, and he was good. Where was he? Was he in the Saints before? Was he with the Saints?
Sounds right.
I remember him being with the Saints first, and then I can't remember where from the Saints, and then over to Dallas. But I like Brandon Cooks quite a bit. Texans. It was Texans and then Dallas.
Staying in the great state of Texas.
So, yeah.
Kevontae Turpin. Turpin's been there for a couple of years now.
That sounds familiar, yeah, yes.
He was like the 3-4 guy. And then I'm a big fan of the young tight end, Jake Ferguson.
Okay.
So the reason Dalton Schultz moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much who he has to throw to, unless they draft somebody or take somebody out of free agency or something like that.
Right.
So he's definitely the true number one there.
Yeah. But I'm thinking they're going to draft. And in speaking of that, one of the reasons I was saying that the fantasy impact is going to be so high is that with that agreement, they're going to put up monster fantasy numbers trying to get there, both of them, Lamb and Dak. I think I would even go so far as to say, fantasy-wise, I'm interested what your opinion will be. That duo, I'd place ahead of the Mahomes-Kelsey duo in fantasy.
Yes.
This season.
Currently, right now. Okay. We're not talking 5-10 years ago. Right now. Yeah.
Right now.
Right now. Yeah.
This season when we're drafting, that duo is going to be put up monster numbers fantasy-wise. Yeah.
My favorite duo right now, and we'll see if it works together, is in Chicago. But they have to put their quarterback situation in order.
Okay.
With Mr. Moore and the guy who came up from the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
So
Keenan Allen. Yeah.
But again, quarterback play. So
right.
We'll see. So right. I like that. There's a few wide receivers. I like Mike Williams in New York. That was a good addition as a number two. A big deal. If he'd stay healthy, we'll talk about that more in just a second. You have to like the Miami tandem. So a lot of good tandems around the league.
Yes.
Is he in the top 3 or 4, Tyreek Hill and the others? Yes, he is. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see. This is a big year for Dallas, period.
Yeah.
Because it could be the end of the Dak Prescott era. It's it's set a contract here from here if he goes somewhere else. So big. They should be a playoff team next year. We'll see.
And
they
should
put up big numbers. Yeah. But anything can happen there.
Yes. All right. Running back moves real quick.
Go ahead.
So quick. Okay. So big implications fantasy-wise, running backs, right? One, I like Swift to Chicago.
Oh,
fantasy
me too.
For fantasy numbers. In all likelihood, like we were just saying a second ago, Chicago takes rookie quarterback off the board, right?
Yep.
And what is, or the best friend of any rookie quarterback in the NFL? It's going to be a capable, solid
running back. Takes all the pressure
and that off. I think that Swift is that. Takes all that pressure off at a minimum until the rookie, whomever they draft, gets their bearings about them. Takes a few games.
It's
he's going to put up. It's going to be him.
It's
but, yeah, I think it's going to he's going to do some pretty solid numbers that first set of games for that. And then my sleeper for
running back. Hit me.
No, this is a wide receiver.
Oh, don't hit me.
I know we've been talking about the Bills a lot. They kind of cleaned house in their wide receiver room. Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a breakout this year.
They had a fantastic back and forth game against the Eagles later in the year, last year around Thanksgiving-ish.
Yeah.
Shakir had a very good game. I think he's I think he has a very good talent.
Right. He's the number one there now.
Yeah, now.
So, and this is only his third year. He's going into his third year, rookie year.
Yeah.
Virtually unheard of. Not many, I think, probably in the teens in terms of receptions, about 100 and so yards. It was 6 times that many last year, which was a nice, steady upward trend. And I think that continues. They, I think they found or saw enough in him in the game that you're talking about to move him into that number one and be comfortable with, which I definitely don't agree with, but to let go of Diggs and Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I think the doors are wide open in Buffalo, and you definitely have a quarterback and get the ball down the field. So.
Yep.
Cool. Any more?
Nope. Unless you have any other fantasy stuff. Okay.
No, that's it.
Sure. Well, so it's back to the AFC for us this week, the AFC East, to be more specific, a division where some surprising blockbuster moves have been made this offseason. So let's go ahead and take this deep dive and see what's going on, and we will kick it off with the AFC East Buffalo Bills, which we have been talking about. One word to describe this past season for them.
Disappointment.
Disappointment? Oh, man. Okay. All right. Why?
They had a lot of the parts. I didn't believe in their defense a ton. I mean, they did okay enough, but that was probably the best Bills team this last year, especially with some surprises. Good stuff to come out of the running game, which they hadn't had in a while. Josh Allen had another MVP-ish type year.
Yeah.
But they just could not get over the hump. Same story. I mean, they couldn't get past the Chiefs again. So
I was a little on the more optimistic side. And I put determined, and I'm going to combine it with their best attribute, which I think is Josh Allen.
That's the
only reason that I said determined. I'm going to say he's the heart and soul of the team. But what's odd is that although both receivers last season, Gabe Davis and Diggs, had down years, he still finished the season with over 4,000 yards and 29 TDs.
I'll give you his numbers real quick. Ready? 4,306 yards passing, 29 passing TDs, 18 INTs, and then let's not forget the rushing stuff. 524 yards rushing, 15 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
That's more than most running
backs. Right. I wasn't even doing him any justice there. Yeah. So I think even when the team plays down, he kind of wills them forward.
He is a special talent. Top five quarterback in the league right now. Without him, the Bills are definitely a losing team.
Yeah.
Under 500 record team. So, all right. So we agree there. What about worst attribute for the Buffalo Bills?
The worst attribute, I went with the trade of Stephon Diggs and emptying their wide receiver room. So this amounts to me the shutting of that Super Bowl window that we talked about for them. Yeah. This is basically like slamming that window shut. So there had always been kind of these rumors around Diggs being a diva, but I'm not sure it was worth it to get rid. They're all divas. Is it worth it to get rid of this elite level of talent? So Diggs has 7 straight seasons with more than 1,000 yards. 7 straight seasons, right? A career average of 12.3 yards per catch.
He's been successful. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And Gabe Davis was a talent too. So
Gabe Davis was incredible. So good for the Texans, bad for the Bills. They picked up Curtis Samuel in his place, which I'm still in the worst attributes here because.
Signed a 3-year deal. Yeah.
Which I'm surprised that didn't make your list because he is a 7-year veteran, but guess what? Not 1 year of 1,000.
No. They got 2 steals. They got him and they got Matt Collins from the Raiders, who had a couple okay games playing off Devontae Adams.
I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
He finished the 2023 season with the Commanders, 63 catches, 613 yards, 4 TDs.
Not special.
Not enough.
Yeah.
So
for me, worst attribute for them is the defensive line. Their defense has basically been gutted. Most of those guys are gone. It's going to be hard for them to stop. Yeah. There's 2 very good offenses in that league when they're healthy. I'm sorry, in that division. So they have needs all over the place. Buffalo still wins some games, but they will not be where they were last year. I went the biggest need. Biggest need I did what you did. I had wide receivers.
Yeah.
Diggs, gone to Houston. Gabe Davis, gone to Jacksonville. Talked about Mac Collins, talked about Curtis Samuel. Running backs kind of a mess. They're kind of a mess all over the place.
Yeah, they're going to need for that kind of newcomer wide receiver, Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid. They're going to have to step up.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to do, they got to do better.
Draft outlook for them? What do you like? 28th overall in the first round.
They're 28th. They have to go wide receiver.
Who'd you
take? They have to go wide receiver. And down then, that far down, I'm not even sure.
I took one. I took a wide receiver, a guy named Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
Okay.
Longhorns. He had 55 receptions, 845 yards, 11 TDs in 2023. A talent, not a huge name talent, but good enough. Definitely first rounder.
They're stepping into, like we talked about, this division, which, I mean, the competition is going to be crazy. Garrett Wilson, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, you got.
What are you doing?
That's just that division. I mean, the AFC. The AFC period has got a lot going for it.
Right.
All right. So, acquisition move. We talked about the wide receivers leaving. They released safety Jordan Poyer. Has been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. He was a big hitter for them for quite a while. Running back Nyheim Hines, you played a little bit. He kind of bounced around.
Yeah, I remember him too.
He was pretty well for a little bit, then played for them. And here's a first rounder they picked up for nothing. Quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. Will probably never play.
Backup, right?
He'll never play unless something happens to Justin. And they re-signed a pretty good safety named Taylor Rapp. So, all right, one word to describe the upcoming season for them.
Bleak.
Backwards.
Okay.
All right. 2024 schedule. We'll do this at the end of each team here. The 24th for the Bengals. So, of course, they play New England twice, the Jets twice, Miami twice. They are home for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco, and Kansas City. God help them. And Houston. So they get 3 really good teams at home.
Right.
As well as having to play the Jets and the Dolphins. They're on the road for Indy, the Rams, Seattle, Baltimore, Detroit. What do we think of them?
That's a lot of tough. That's a lot of back to back. I mean, not the hardest though, right?
You get New England twice.
I mean,
Jacksonville, Tennessee, Arizona, they could win. San Francisco will be a fight. Kansas City will be a fight. We'll see what happens with Indy.
On the road in Indy,
that could be a winner. The Rams, they're not quite as scary as they once were. Seattle's kind of going through some motions.
No, I think the Rams are going to be tough.
Yeah, they have a lot of good young talent. I like, you know, as much as it's easy to hate him because he's young and stuff, McVay's a good coach.
I like him a lot. I like Sean McVay. But I'm going to call this manageable. I don't think this is a manageable
schedule. To go to Baltimore and have to go to Detroit. Those are two.
Okay, where do we like them in the division?
We'll do this at the end of each one too. Do we like one, two, three, four?
In this division, I like them three.
Same, number three.
Yep.
I think we both know what the bottom dweller is going to be. Okay. Okay. On to the number two team, resurgent team. The AFC's number two. I'm sorry, the AFC's number two. Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins were, I think this past season, very mysterious is what I labeled them as. So we watched the Dolphins hang 70 on the Broncos early in the season. Break records all over the place, right? First in offensive yards per game, 401. Sixth in rushing yards per game, 135. First in yards per carry, 5.1. Second in red zone efficiency, fewest sacks, fewest quarterback sacks, right? Hardly touched. None of these stats would suggest the early playoff exit that happened.
It was the Frostbite Bowl. I mean, they go to Kansas City and play Miami. Miami went to Kansas City to play. I am not moved by that.
So what?
They collapsed at the end of the year. They had that division. Let Buffalo come back and snatch it from them. And then what a difference having to go on the road and playing somewhere freezing is against the
26-7 Chiefs.
Yeah,
come
against
on.
A Kansas City team that was playing better at the end of the year.
Yeah. So. But I think they still fizzled a little bit at the end, too. So, I mean, it's one of those teams that look magnificent on and unstoppable on paper. And it just doesn't always play out that way. So,
one word to describe the past season for them?
That's what I had. Mysterious.
Offense. Because their offense is good. Best attribute then.
And that's what I have for their best attribute. High energy, offensive powerhouse, two dangerous wide receivers in Waddle and Hill. No signs of slowing on either of those guys.
I put head coach Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
I like him. I like him a lot. That offense is his. You put it, you don't like him? Because he's kind of cocky now.
He is, and he gives off vibes of like, he gives like stat nerd vibe.
He is definitely a little nerdy.
You know what I mean?
Other than his $100,000 watches,
but not
his tracksuits, but yeah,
like nerdy looking, but became cool. So now he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
you know that.
He's been around,
I don't know. I've never met the guy. He could be so cool, but I'm just
He runs away from reporters too at halftime. He does have a lot of ball stuff. Yeah, he's definitely interesting.
I don't know.
All right, so the worst attribute for the Dolphins.
So I said the end of the year like fizzle, if you will. So it's true. They weren't the worst collapse. We saw a lot of teams do it, but I still would say kind of a steep fall nonetheless in that 26-7 and with a team that I think should have gone with a powerhouse offensive high power team that could have done, I don't know.
They were a little beat up at the end of the year, though.
This is true.
Cheetah was a little hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Yeah. So worst attribute for me, defense, Xavien Howard's out. Emmanuel Ogba's out. As well as Christian Wilkins is out. He was a big run stuffer. So basically all of their lines.
Yeah, they got, Christian Wilkins went to
Vegas.
Yeah.
So, and he's good. He's probably top five or six defensive lineman in the league. So that's a big, big loss. So they have a lot to fill in there. Biggest need, what do you got?
And that's exactly what I said. The biggest need, big hole to fill with their tackle going over to the Raiders. So I'm guessing they'll be looking for, this will be their primary focus, I'm thinking, in the draft. So outlook at 21st, they should be able to pick someone up. I think so far with Wilkinson to the they did acquire, well, this is kind of moving into the acquisition and acquiring. They did get Shaq Barrett, right?
Got that linebacker.
Agreed to that $9 million deal.
And just left Buffalo's now in Miami. Jordan Poyer, the safety.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why that sounded familiar. I think I saw that too. Yep. So, but I don't think that they may not get the same productivity out of Barrett that he gave to the Bucks.
Yeah. You know, so he was one of the two studs there that helped them win that Super Bowl. That defense was really good when Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay, so back to that. I agree with that. The defense, for their draft outlook, I put a guy named Jerson Newton. He's a defensive tackle at Illinois.
Okay. You went with tackle too, though,
yeah,
right? They're going to feel that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He cannot replace Christian Wilkins, who's one of the best at what he did. I mean, he's huge against the run, Wilkins was. But he has a huge upside. Apparently, he's a very good pass blocker, and he can work on the run game. Very good feed. So that's what I got them working on so far. We talked about the acquisitions just now. One word to describe the upcoming season for them.
Familiar is the word that I use.
I put exciting. I think they have a lot to be excited about. Yeah.
So I think we see more of the same, though, from them.
Yeah.
I think more because, I think that they haven't made too many offensive changes, which I think suggests that they're okay with what they have. They think that, which is good, right? So they had two powerhouse running backs, too, along with those two great wide receivers. Tua played well as well. So they're okay with that aspect of the team. We'll have to wait and see, though, what it does in terms of getting them out of that, like, playoff win drought.
Yeah, that's the next step. Just like Dallas, that's the next step. They need to win a playoff game or two.
Yes.
All right, so on to the schedule for the Miami. Of course, the Jets twice, the Patriots twice, the Bills twice. Home for Jacksonville, Tennessee, Arizona, San Francisco. At least they have San Francisco come to them and make their life a little bit, as well as Houston goes to them. That makes life a little bit easier. They travel to Indy, the Rams, Seattle, Cleveland, and Green Bay. I think a good schedule. I think a favorable schedule for them. Green Bay will be tough. Cleveland, I think, is going to be downswinging. Seattle's, they should win that game.
They should, right. Rams, I think the Rams are going to be tough.
That'll be a tough game. They should beat Indy. Home for Houston, that's going to be a very good game. Home for the Vegas Raiders, they should win that game. Home to San Francisco, that'll be very competitive.
Good game. They should win Arizona.
Home to Arizona, they should win. Home to Tennessee, they should win. Home to Jacksonville, they should win. Buffalo, I could see a split. New England, they should win both games. So they should have a winning. Do we see them with a winning record? And do we see them?
I see them? A winning record. This is also a very manageable schedule.
Okay. So you see them as winning division or second division? We already picked
in
Buffalo.
In the division,
three.
I say two.
I say two as well. I think you and I are going to have the exact same division.
Yeah.
All right. So that is it for our friends, the Fish down in Miami. We wish them luck. Okay, on to, I think you and I both project to be the first team. However, last year they finished third, but that's what happens when you lose your quarterback in the first quarter of the first game. The New York Jets.
Yes.
One word to describe this past season.
Heartbreaking.
I put turf.
Turf. Turf. Explain that one.
Because everyone complains about the turf at the Meadowlands of hurting you. So that's what got Aaron Rodgers' Achilles. Apparently, I'm being silly. All right.
Okay.
So.
That's funny.
Best attribute.
Okay. So, best attribute. I'm going with their resilience right now.
I put dedication.
And Same thing. Very similar. So first I put heartbreaking, obviously, you know why. Yep. Losing Aaron Rodgers, right? So the thing about it, and this is just a little blurb, I feel like we have barely seen Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform. And in my mind, it's not real yet. Yep. Like he's not a Jet yet. At any rate, so after losing Rodgers early on, I think the team still kind of rode high on like emotion and positivity. We kept calling it the Zach Wilson experiment, and they kept that going for a little bit. But I got to say, the team really has a lot going for them still, I think.
They are loaded. So,
and they're about to add to the coffers in a major way, in my opinion,
we'll get
in this
to
draft.
In a second. Can we just rediscover last year? So they lose Rodgers. So you lose your franchise quarterback, your guy who's going to be your guy, right? Yep. And what did they still beat Buffalo without him, right? And you remember the Eagles were undefeated when they played them.
Right, and they won.
And they won. Yeah. And they So they did some good things, you know, with just what they had.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that what they had was good. And what they if they can keep and stay healthy, that they're as good as anybody in the NFL.
Well, they still both Garrett Wilson, right?
Mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson's there.
Bryce Young
is there.
Still there. Sauce on the defense, still there.
One of the best cornerbacks in the
game. One of the best.
Sure.
And then the, like, we always say the linebackers, C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams, right? No joke, both still there.
Yep.
Joined by their acquisition, Hassan Reddick.
Reddick, yeah, fantastic.
This is, they're going to.
And yeah, I'll get into some more. There's more, too. Yeah. There's more. So they're pretty loaded there. Okay, so that's the best. What about the worst? What's their worst?
So this is my standout team for this division, of course, as you guessed that it would be. This is my dark horse. I'm all in with them. I don't have a worse.
The only thing I have for them is their offensive line. Mekhi Becton hasn't really been the first round that they picked. They might need to replace him, and I think they do replace him in the draft, and it kind of ties into the next one for me. So for me, it was a little bit of offensive line help. That'll help things for Mr. Rodgers,
right?
Protecting the blind side. I think they picked number 10th overall, a guy named Olu Fashanu. I love those Middle Island names, Samoan stuff.
Where you think they go?
All-American offensive tackle. 10th overall again out of the Penn State University. He's a small man at 6'6 and 317 pounds. I think he protects Aaron Rodgers' blindside. Again, a rookie, so he'll have some work to do. He will make some mistakes, but I think that's what they do. All right, on to the acquisitions and movement. We talked about a few other ones. I'll add a few ones that we missed. Javon Kinlaw from the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. He played quite a bit. He was a more of a role guy there, but part of that defensive line that they've rotated and played very well for the last 4 or 5 years. They took one of my personal favorites, Tyrod Taylor's there now.
I know, and that's what I put. I'm not impressed with that, though. So I said, I think they need a solid backup quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best who ever do it, of course.
Yep.
Getting up there, though.
40 years old.
And so I think that if, God forbid, something similar happens, Tyrod Taylor would be serviceable at best. We saw what would happen with Zach Wilson. So I would go, they need to draft a quarterback.
Zach Wilson can go. Goodbye.
They need to draft a quarterback, but not in the first round.
No.
And they should, I like Brock Bowers, the tight end.
Yeah.
They should continue to stack.
Yeah. All right. So we did Tyrod. Next one is a big name guy. And he was a huge, huge guy for Dallas when he was healthy. He was hurt a lot. It's an offensive lineman named Tyron Smith. If he's there too, mm-hmm. that line just got very, very good.
Okay.
He's been described as a generational talent. We talked about him on the show before. Injuries have plagued him for the last couple of years, his pectoral and other things. If he's healthy, that line is very, very good.
The Jets have pushed all of their chips into the middle. They're going for it.
Yeah.
And I think I like it.
Yeah, yeah. And then we talked about Mike Williams a tiny bit. He was having a very good year before he got hurt. He's prone to getting hurt. He's had a very good year for the Chargers when the Chargers didn't have a ton last year. If he stays healthy, that's just a big target that can stretch the field. That's what you want. He's a big playmaker. And playing across from Garrett mm-hmm. Wilson, that'll make things. Then you have two big playmakers. Getting Garrett Wilson some time where he's not double covered, that'll
make a difference. Big difference. Yep, I agree.
One word to describe the upcoming season for the New York Jets.
I said fire. I'm all in on the Jets.
Promising. Their schedule, we'll go through them real quick. The New York Jets, again, same story. New England twice, Buffalo twice, Miami twice, Houston at home, Indy at home, the Rams at home, Seattle at home, Denver at home. They could win all of those games.
Okay.
On the road, of course, being healthy, we'll go back to that. Jacksonville, they go to. They should win that game. Tennessee, they go to. They should win that game. Arizona, they go to. They should win that game. San Francisco will be extremely challenging. Pittsburgh will be very challenging. Minnesota is a big question mark, but the way things are right now, they should win that game as well.
Right. So I think Houston's challenging, the ones that you just named a couple. So this is, in my opinion, a softer schedule. They definitely win this division.
That is a soft schedule. I also like them as number one in that division.
Yep.
All righty. Last but not least, well, probably going to be least, number four in the division from the best, the dynasty, to the worst, all of a sudden. Boston's own New England Patriots. One word to describe this past season.
Over.
Reality.
Reality. Nice. Yep. The end of an era, which was absolutely necessary. So.
Best attribute of the New England Patriots.
Jared Mayo.
Tom Brady.
Come on,
Worst attribute.
Worst attribute. Where do I start? The fall of this dynasty was just rapid, and I think just due for a rebuild. I don't know.
I put Tom Brady. and Bill Belichick. And I'll tell you why. Because now that shadow is going to be leaking over them.
Oh, no.
And it's impossible to compare to.
People get it. I don't think so. So, look, Jared Mayo, times change.
Yep.
Nothing was more apparent than the need for changing of the guard with the Patriots in this past season.
Better is
new
over,
chapter. He's from the Belichick tree, which still suggests he will be
drafted and stayed in New England as a way linebacker. Yes.
Suggests he'll be a defensive coach, but hopefully one that gets his players, hopefully one that gets more out of them.
Yes.
So they looked very happy going into the preliminary training, OTAs and such, right? They showed some footage of like
the he's a young coach. Meetings. We'll see how it goes. And we've seen some funky things with young coaches like Patricia and others.
It's time. So it's time.
It was definitely the end of Belichick's time. His time, was he 70-something years old? He'd gotten his rings. He'd done his things. Do I think he does that without Tom Brady? Absolutely not. I'll argue that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. But that's what it showed.
But it doesn't matter because he's got the rings. He's got them. So he can say, I got these rings. But his time was all Tom Brady.
Right. He has to admit that he was part of a grander scheme of things. It was not just him. Yeah. As much as he wants to claim that for himself, he has to admit that it was bigger than
him. So let's talk about this one. If Tom Brady had left and not won a ring in Tampa, does that conversation a little more maybe? Maybe Bill was Bill Belichick, or is it still just Tom Brady no matter what? Because for me, he walked out the door and said, I'm going to go win a ring. Yes, we did.
Right. He went into a situation that was set up very nicely.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think it's as harsh, for lack of a better word, that as it is for the Belichick side of it. He goes there and he spends a year doesn't or whatever
doesn't to, work out, in Tampa,
doesn't work out in Tampa Bay. I don't think that I think we are more likely to say then that it was the combination of them. They were both a part of something that was grander than themselves, a grander scheme of things that allowed them both to be successful. So I think it's easier to go that route and say that than it was one or the other.
I will say this for a long time until somebody comes and plants him. Tom Brady, in my lifetime, because I didn't see Joe Montana or Stephen Lewis, my lifetime, what I could remember, he's the best quarterback to do it. In my lifetime, we'll see.
Right. This morning, the Atlanta game was on the Super Bowl. and I was still like, I know how it ends. I'm like, how did this happen? Yeah. So third quarter is 3-28.
Atlanta fell asleep. What a tough Super Bowl that was. I remember watching that. We talked about it before. I
looked,
playing poker, walked up left, came back. I was like, what is going on here?
Right.
How did this happen? All right, so biggest need for the New England Patriots.
Oh, the biggest need for the New England, they need a franchise quarterback.
Well, that's funny.
They need a franchise quarterback.
I put everything is what they need. So draft outlook, they are number 3 overall, which is a nice place to be. Speaking of franchise quarterback, I took one, Drake May.
Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. So it depends largely on what the Commanders do, who also need a quarterback who's right in front of them.
I think it's clear the number one's going to be going to the Bears, and then after that it gets kind of interesting. Drake May, I like him a lot. I also like J.J. Jane Daniels a lot, too. 2023, May threw for 3,608 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 ANTs, 63.3 completion passing percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'4", 223, big arm, a Justin Herbert type.
Nice.
Very accurate passer. Good on the move. If he lives up to the ability, he'll be the building block that they need.
Okay.
So, I think that's pretty simple. So I think that's what they have to do as well. On to the acquisitions and movement. So far, signed KJ Osborne, who I like. Minnesota, kind of a 2-3 guy for them.
Wow. I didn't know KJ Osborne had gone there. Okay. I like him too. So they also did Austin Hooper.
Hooper, I was going to get. He's in my list too. Quarterback Jacoby Brissett came over from Washington.
Back home.
back home. Running back Antonio Gibson, who was kind of the second guy there in Washington.
All right.
So he's there too. We just talked about Austin Hooper.
Is he their number one now?
Bucks Brissett?
Gibson.
Oh, Gibson. No, he'll still be behind the number one running back there.
Oh, the long name. Yes.
Name.
I
even had him in my fantasy.
I know exactly.
Team last year.
I know. Yeah, you did.
Ramondre Stevenson.
Yes.
That's there somewhere. Ramondre Stevenson. Okay. He'll still be the number one. He's very talented, Ramondre. Remember, they kind of gave him the ball every play last year. That was their plan, give the ball to Ramondre. Anyway, he'll be there. So Gibson will be competitive, though. He's a good running back, and he's a young guy, too. Austin Hooper, who did some good things in Atlanta, then went over to Las Vegas, and that's where he came from. He got traded from Las Vegas. We might have just been released. But anyway, he's on the team now. They traded quarterback Mac Jones away. He's now in Jacksonville to back up Sunshine. We might get a chance to play again. I just don't know if the NFL, he's down to the speed. I don't think the speed of the NFL is right for Mac Jones.
So, you know what? But the thing with Mac Jones and those like rookie quarterbacks like that, and playing under the Belichick system that we've all heard rumors and innuendo about, I think that it's sad though, because it can be a little bit like confidence shattering.
Yeah.
You could, if you're capable, if you know the game, you love the game, you want to play, all it takes is for this older veteran, six time Super Bowl winner to completely break you down. The rest of the league says, oh, I guess he's right, and ship you off into oblivion, never to be heard from again. So hopefully he will, I think, get a second time around.
Turnover for his killer. Turn the ball over a lot. So if you can find a way to figure that out, maybe shorten up the field a little bit or something, that'll help.
We'll see.
Maybe he'll turn around. Who knows? You know, he'll be sitting in the back of for a little bit.
And I don't know how I felt about the Austin Hooper thing too. So it reeks of like a Belichickian system where it's like a veteran, not a big name. Serviceable at best. It's like a signature move of his. So I think that if you want to do, I mean, like I'm wanting it to be different there.
Henry's still there too.
Okay.
So they have two decent tight ends.
Yeah.
And they love that two tight end system. They've had that going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Are either of them the standouts? No. But I mean, they're like you said, serviceable. They both catch. Yeah. So that's good. They released wide receiver Devontae Parker. I mean, he hasn't been great for a while, so it doesn't really matter too much. All right, one word to describe the upcoming season.
Okay, it's a sentence, a long road to hoe.
All right, I like that. I put remix. All right, so schedule for them. They get the Jets twice, got help them. Miami twice, got help them. But that really, it's an uphill battle for the Lions.
Yeah.
So Jets twice, Miami twice, Buffalo twice, same division. Houston at home, Indy at home, the Rams at home, Seattle at home, the Chargers at home, and Arizona at home. They should be competitive in a couple of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Competitive, I don't see any surefire wins here for them, though.
No. And then they have to go to Jacksonville. That's probably lost. They go to San Francisco. That's definitely lost.
Yeah.
They go to Tennessee. They can be competitive in that game. Going to Cincy. I don't know if Cincy is going to be the greatest team next year. There's stuff I have big question marks. Mm-hmm. I need to research them a tiny bit more when we get to the AFC North. And going to the Bears, quarterback dependent. They could be really good. Yeah. They could be really bad. We will see. I see them as like a 5 or 6 win team next year. But on the rebuild. And last in that division. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right.
For sure.
All right. Next up, we're jumping back over to the NFC for discussion of the NFC East division, featuring the two top teams, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the two bottom dwellers, the Commanders and the Giants.
All right. Well, I think that will do it for us this week, guys. Please do come back. Hang out with us again. I think we're getting pretty good at this thing, Joe.
I think we're getting great at this.
Good. Where to find us? Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Like, follow, rate, and review us on any of these platforms. The reviews are super important. They help us get better. They help us move up the podcasting charts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Air It Out Network and support this podcast link in the show description. Please click on it and show the bottom love. So thanks again for listening. Signing off. This is the Air It Out Fantasy Football League podcast. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. This podcast is written, produced, and recorded by me, Chantel Brown, and Joe Bishop as a part of the Air It Out Podcast Network. Recording mixed and mastered by Wodek B.